John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time in his word this morning. And as I pray, just ask the Lord to speak to your heart personally. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious and holy word. We thank you that this is a rock upon which we can anchor our faith. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together this morning to look at these wonderful truths found in your word. I pray that you'd watch over us and bless us at this time. I pray whatever the need of the hour is, that you would meet it. I pray that you would strengthen those who need strengthening, and I pray that those who need to be closer to you, that need to turn direction in their life and approach you, that they would. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning by your power and by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And we are in, those of you joining us today, we're in a series through the Gospel of John. We've been in the Gospel of John for a couple years, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful journey. In John chapter number 20, John writes to us and tells us the purpose for his Gospel. It wasn't a biography as far as covering the whole life of Christ. He wrote a thesis. He wrote a Gospel for this purpose, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. And by that life, he's not just talking about a home in heaven. Eternal life is not just a home in heaven, but it is a life worth living now. You and I as believers are to live the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a victorious life, which is Christ living his life through us. The Bible looks at life without the Lord Jesus as not even living, not even having a life. And so the life that the Lord gives is not everlasting in its quantity, in its length, but in its quality. He gives us a better quality of life to live. Well, I've served the devil and I've served the Lord, and I could say that serving the Lord is a whole lot better than serving the devil. The Lord gives us a wonderful life to live. I've never been bored in the Christian life. There's only one reason why you'd be bored in the Christian life, is because you're a lazy Christian, okay? The Christian life is a wonderful, joyous life. Read the book of Acts and see if they were bored there living the life that Christ had set before them. They were not. It was life on the edge. You want to live on the edge? You want to have excitement? Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an exciting life to live. I'm so thankful and I praise the Lord for the life that he gives to us, you and I. And here in our story, we see here Peter and John in a foot race to the tomb. John wins. We try to speculate as to why that was. We know that Peter was older, and also Peter was probably taller, and perhaps he was a stoutly character. We're not sure. But anyway, John went, and he went into the tomb. Peter stooped down, going into the tomb. He sees this sight. He sees the grave clothes of Jesus as a cocoon laying there, and he also sees the napkins, which is about Jesus' face, laying off to the side. So here we have a hollow cocoon. No one could take that body out and keep that those wrappings like that. And it says there that John believed. He had a wink or understanding of belief, but there was this clause: they did not yet understand the scriptures. And then we see that Peter and John, they left the scene, and Mary stood without. The Bible says Mary stood without weeping. Mary had a special place in the life of Jesus. We said last week that Jesus does not have favorites. Jesus is no respecter. It says in the Word of God three times directly, and then there's principles throughout the Bible, that God is not a respecter of persons. God does not have favorites. However, he does have intimates, those who choose to be close to the Lord. Mary, the Lord cast out seven devils out of her. Devil is there to energize bad behavior. We see that in the book of Genesis all the way through the Bible. And the devil is a devourer. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to waste your life. And her life was a waste, and she was enslaved to sin. And the Lord miraculously delivered Mary Magdalene. And it goes back to the parable. The greater debt that is forgiven is the one who loves the master the most. And here's a lady who, and she knows that her life would be a miserable wreck if it wasn't for her Savior. And that's a lot of times why good people never make great Christians. A lot of times who's doing the Lord's work is those who have come from a lifestyle that is on the brink of disaster until the Lord reached way down in a pit and set their foot upon a rock and established their goings. And here is a worshiper of Christ. You know, the Bible says if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with your whole heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That Mary wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what happens if you want to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Guess what happens? You see him. You see him. And so she has the wonderful, distinct privilege of being the first person in this account that sees the risen Lord. She sees the risen Lord. I want you to first notice her duty and her dedication of this woman. We see her by the Lord. She's going to minister to the body of the Lord. She's going there to anoint his body. She's going there to take care of a dead personal Savior. Okay? A dead Savior. Here's the Lord. I mean, she's weeping. Her eyes are probably blinded from tears. And she thinks that Jesus is the gardener. Tell me where you laid his body, and I'm sure this little woman could take Jesus and all his wrappings. We said 100 pounds of wrappings there upon the Lord. I will take him. I'll get him myself. And so again, in her mind, she was serving a Savior that was not risen, that had passed away, and her hope and her faith was all but diminished. It was all but gone. You know, the Bible says that we are to leave dead works to serve a living God. So thankful that I serve the God who is this morning, not the God who was. And he's a living God. But this point in her life, like you and I sometimes in our life, where things just seem to be so contrary that the Romans are against us and the Pharisees are against us and the Sadducees are against us and all society is turned against us, that we are on the ropes and we are ultimately defeated. However, because we might have nobility, because we might have a sense of duty, we still serve the Lord. You see, there's a reality in this world, and there's a reality called death. You know, the latest poll is out and has been back that 10 out of 10 people die. Okay? There's one surety in life, or two sureties in life, right? What are they? Death and taxes. Two sureties in life. There's one commonality between the rich, the poor, the black, and the white. Those that have a professional career and those who are the street sweepers. Everybody dies. Everybody ultimately faces this reality called death. Death. I heard a story, an Eastern story, of a man who he lived in the Middle East, and he came back and told his master, his servant, he said, "Master," he says, "today, while in the marketplace," he says, "I saw death there." And he says, "Do bid me, sir, to flee to Samaria. I am sure that death was after me." And he said, "Sure, you've been a good servant. You can flee to Samaria." And later on, the master was in the marketplace, and he too saw death in the marketplace and said to death, "Death, did you frighten my servant earlier today?" He says, "Yes, but I didn't mean to." He says, "I do, however, have an appointment with him tonight in Samaria," the place that he was fleeing to. You know, the saying was, if I ever knew where I was going to die, I just never would go there, right? Jesus says, "I'm turning the tables on death, though. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You know, the Bible says that the believer actually will never taste death. You know, for a believer, you've never truly lived until you stepped out of this mortal frame, out of this mortal body, and then you will say, "Hey, you know what it was back on earth? That was not living. This is living up here in heaven." You see what happened to the human race, the Bible says? It says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In our DNA, you ever think about this for a moment? In our DNA, death is programmed. Why is it, Brother Finney, one of these little kids up here, Peyton, he eats a bowl of cereal and he gets healthy and strong muscles. And you, he's like, "Man, I got another ache and I got another pain today." You know that you are programmed to get strong at one point in your life, and then you're programmed to get weaker and weaker and weaker in your life. That is a part of our DNA. You know, another thing that's part of your DNA is your sinful nature. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, everything has a nature. A dog acts like a dog, a squirrel acts like a squirrel, a cow acts like a cow, and you know what mankind acts like? Sinners. And the whole thing is, you don't have to, you have children, you don't have to teach those children how to do wrong. They already know how to do wrong by their nature. We talked about this in Sunday school, and we determined that they get the sinful nature from their mothers, okay? Just kidding. All right, so sin passes upon all men. We're born sinners, and then we're also born underneath a death sentence. Do you know that God holds you personally responsible for repenting for your sin nature? Man, every way of a man is good in his own eyes. Man tries to justify himself. He tries to make himself right. He tries to make himself righteous. He says, I might be a sinner, I might have a sin nature, but I'm definitely not as bad as Richard over here. Right? And so I am just in mine own eyes. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way. But the Lord has made him shepherd of us all. There has to be a time in our life where we repent of our sin and turn our nature over unto Christ. You know, the Bible says that, Jesus said, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The Spirit of God woos men and draws men unto himself. That's why it's not just me preaching to you this morning, but by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, he's taking that word of God and saying, hey, that's true. That preacher is telling the truth. Yes, that's God saying, that is my word. He is right. And the Bible says, I think of the proverb where it says in Proverbs chapter number 1, wisdom cries out in the street, it cries for all men. Let's say some men, all men to come in unto her. God didn't foreordain some people to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, very obscure verse, okay? It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That you have to ultimately choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and to partake of the Lord's life. You see, Mary at this point in her existence, again, was portraying the Savior like every other thing here upon this earth. I want you to remember that we serve a risen Savior. I want you to remember this morning that if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you are not going to die. Sure, your body's going to lay in the dirt, but you are ultimately going to live. A Christian doesn't die, a Christian lives. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, Paul said that, I'd rather go and depart. To be with the Lord is much, much better, but it's more needful that I be with you. Hey, pilgrim, stranger, you just have a short time here on this earth before you go to be with the Lord. A Christian never dies. Many times we forget this though. And then we serve the Lord out of dead duty. We think that the Lord surely does not hear. The Lord surely is not present. Surely we are defeated, and they have ultimately defeated the Lord. I love duty, and I love principle. I was reading a story about a Japanese soldier who was stranded on an island. Everybody read about him, I think for 40 years, some sort of Guam. How many years was he there?
I think the 70s or 80s.
So, almost 40 years after the war has ended, but guess what he was doing? He was doing his duty. And here, she's doing her duty strictly out of principle, not out of resurrection joy. You know, I believe that we ought to honor our fallen dead. Memorial Day is an important day in our country where we remember those that have fallen. It's important to go to a cemetery and remember those that have gone on before us, to do that out of a duty and do that out of integrity to that person. I heard a story one time about an older gentleman, and he had broken his finger, and he's getting his finger set. Early in the morning, the nurse was setting his finger and putting it in a bandage, and he said, "If we could hurry, that would be wonderful." He said, "I have a 9:30 appointment with my wife to eat breakfast." And she said, "Really? Where is your wife now?" He said, "Well, she's in a nursing home, and she has Alzheimer's. She doesn't know who I am." And the nurse said, "Well, then why is it so, if she doesn't know who you are, why is it so important that you make that 9:30 breakfast appointment?" And he's made this statement, "Because I know who she is." You know what that is? That is duty. That is integrity. Part of the best part of our human nature, where we say, "Hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because it's right, and I don't care if it causes me personal pain. I don't care if it makes me lose my life. Whatever it is, I'm going to do that out of duty." At this point in Mary's life, she was serving the Lord strictly out of dead and dry duty, out of duty. You know, the first message to her was this, Luke 24:5. "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" You know, a lot of us are tempted to come on Sunday morning and pay our respects, so to speak, to the Lord, same way as we would to those who have we love, we go to a graveside. You know that we stand, along with Mary, this morning before an empty tomb. Before an empty tomb. That we serve a living Savior. Here I want you to notice when she discovers the Lord, look at verse number 16. Jesus saith unto her, she sees two angels, and I think she's probably overcome with grief. And anytime you see angels in the Bible, they look like men, okay? So she probably thought, oh, there's just two of the men. Maybe if she looked at them closer, she would distinguish, hey, there's something different about these fellas here. But she doesn't notice them as being angels. And of course, even the Lord, when he starts speaking to her, she thinks that he is the gardener. But then the Lord calls her by name. They say, there's nothing as sweet as the sound of your own name. Aren't you glad that we have a personal Savior? I'm glad that the Lord knows my name. You know, he knows the sand on the seashore. He knows when the sparrow falls. The Bible says, by him all things exist. And I'm so thankful that his thoughts are great towards me this morning, and he knows my name. It says, Mary, verse 16, Mary. Verse 16, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I have ascended unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. Here we see Jesus revealing himself to Mary, and here we see Mary receiving a commission. Here's an interesting statement. There's a few speculations on why the Lord said to Mary, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father, to your Father, to my God, and to your God. The context of this verse is this. Mary, quit holding on to my ankles. You know what she's saying? I ain't gonna let you out of my sight. Okay? I have sought for you, and I have sought for you, and now that I found you, I am not going to let go of you. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning? We say, man, that would just be fantastic just to see him here, to be able to touch him, to be able to fall at his feet along with Mary, to be able to worship him in body. But you know, here is the mistake that Mary made, is that Jesus was not just humanity, but Jesus also is deity. You know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? By him, the worlds were spoken into existence. That Jesus is a creator God. You know, the Bible says, by him all things consist. That means, man, just think of your body. You know, if you were to talk about the universe on a macro level, I mean, all the stars out there, do you know that, I don't know the statistics, but I've read them before, where like each and every one of us here on this, in this earth would have like a billion stars just to us personally. There's so many stars, vast universe. I read a statistic one time that if you took the atoms, just in your body, and you magnified them to the size of apples, that you would be so big that you'd be able to hold the universe in the palm of your hand. Okay, your atoms in your body, the size of apples. You'd be so big that you'd be able to hold the universe in the palm of your hand. Who keeps all that together? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think a lot of times in our life, we make this mistake. We serve a Savior who, we wouldn't say that he's dead, but he is long ago, and he is far away, and he is distant, and we serve him out of duty. And then we make this mistake as we emphasize his humanity too much. Let me tell you, let you in. And this is free. I'm not going to charge you for this, okay? This is my own personal philosophy. This is why I don't watch movies about Jesus. Because it overemphasizes the humanity of Christ. You know that Jesus is also not just the creator, that all things exist by him, that he is also the Word. When I'm reading the Old Testament, who am I reading about? Jesus. Now he says, Mary, I need to ascend into heaven. Why did he need to ascend? You know what he said in John? He said to his disciples, it is needful that I go away. You know that God has your best intentions in mind? And he said, it's far better that I go to the right hand of the Father and send down the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit makes manifest Christ in your heart. It's going to be a whole lot better for you than if I stayed here bodily. And I won't get into the story of the disciples, but you know the disciples did a whole lot better personally when Jesus was up on the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit was abiding with him. And here's the thing, Mary, I'm going to do something so wonderful for you. You won't even have to just be at my feet. I am going to be in you. You know what the Bible says is our hope? It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, that I have overcome the world through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in me. He says, I must go away. Mary discovers later on in her life that she can do more because the Lord went to the throne and sent down his Holy Spirit. Last thing that she does here is she goes and tells his disciples. Verse 17, it says, she says again, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And of course, we know the rest of the story. As soon as Mary came and told the disciples, that they said, okay, we believe that the Lord is resurrected now since you said that, Mary. Anytime in the Bible where somebody has a time with Christ, I think of Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. It's always followed by this. Who shall I send and who will go for me? You know, Ezekiel, here I am, send me. He says to Isaiah, go unto this people and tell them. You know what the Christian faith is? Man, it's, I came up with this myself, okay, in case you're wondering. It is one beggar telling, I'm just kidding, I didn't come with this myself. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You know, if you've seen the Lord, if you've experienced the Lord, you're going to tell somebody else about it. You know, seeing the Lord is enough for us. We see the Lord and we experience the Lord through his word, through prayer, through trusting in him. He manifests his presence to us. The Bible talks about in the Bible that if any man do my word, I will manifest myself unto him. If there's anything that I desire to see in this life that I live here on this earth, I want to see the Lord. If there's any message that I need to proclaim while I'm here on this earth to others, is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm going to spend my life till I'm blue in the face, till people can look like Mary. Remember, Mary tells the disciples of the Lord, and they don't even believe a thing. They look at her like a calf looking at a new gate. I don't believe you. But you know, the thing that the message that that I want to bring for the rest of my life is, hey, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Trust in God. Believe in him. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what they say. Man, we serve a risen Savior this morning. Go tell his disciples that he is risen. He says, go. She says, go and tell. Peter denies. He goes fishing. He sees the Lord on the shore, chapter number 21. That day, he pulls in 153 fish. A few days after that, he pulls in 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Thomas, he says, I will never believe. I will never believe. Unless I put my hands in his side, unless I put my hands in the nails in his hands, I will not believe. Paul says this, last of all, he was seen by me. Let me make this statement. You're here this morning, And you say this. You say, this mediocre Christianity, this is the best that I can do, man. I try and try, but this is just who I am. Man, I've struggled with this particular sin for forever, and this is just something that is I'm going to have to deal with until the day I die. You're here this morning, you say, man, I don't have peace, and I've always been a worrier. I've always stressed about so many different things in my life, and I guess, my mother was like that, and her mother was like that, and I guess I'm just bound to be like that in my life, and there's no difference for me. There's not going to be no change for me. And you're here this morning, and you say, God's laid different burdens on my heart, but I'm just coming to the conclusion that there's not going to be any change in my path. I've prayed for these things for years, and it doesn't seem like the Lord has answered. I've prayed for these people to be saved, and it doesn't seem like the Lord is anywhere, and that He's distant, and that He is far away. There's no change. And we can go through life accepting defeat and serving the Lord out of nothing but empty duty. Again, I love duty. I think if something's right to do, you ought to do it. But God never intended the Christian life to be that way. The Bible says about God's presence, it says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. The right reason to be in church, not duty, is joy. Seeing God in your life changes everything. I wish that my prayer life was what it should be. I wish my walk with God was what it should be, but I'm thankful for every time that I've gotten alone with God and I've gotten a new vision of who God is. I've gotten new strength to live through this life that I can get up and face the world each and every day and believing that God is going to do something amazing because He is risen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. God calls us to believe in Him. I've written these things that you might believe. Remember this, that God's called us also to a relationship, to be at His feet. I want to ask you, Christian, this morning, let me give the invitation this way. When was the last time you really had an experience with the Lord? When you really knew that you had Him and He gave you the strength that you need for the hour that you need and that you knew that you could do all things because He was there and He was living? Why don't we talk to the Lord this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. As the pianist plays, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for just the change in Mary's life when she comes across a risen Savior. And Lord, may that be true with us. May this reality strike us true today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Just by testimony of an uplifted hand, you'd say, I know for sure if I were to die that I'd go to heaven. I'd bring you to the time and place where I received Christ as my Savior. You slip up your hand. God bless you. If you're here this morning, say, I'm not 100% for sure. I have some doubts in my life about whether or not I'm saved, whether Jesus Christ is in my heart. And would you pray for me that I'd have the peace that I need? Would you slip up your hand and you say, that's my prayer today. All right, God bless you. The altar's open. However God spoke to your heart, you speak to Him.